Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and it is our great privilege and pleasure to be with you all tonight as we lift up the name of Jesus through our weekly Bible study and prayer. We know that the Lord is good. We know that the Lord is merciful. We know that the Lord is kind. And he has given us the promises of his word. He has not allowed it to be something that we are hearing by word of mouth. He has allowed his word to be able to be available to us so that we can take it and we can impart it and that we can be emboldened through the process. His word gives us strength. It gives us wisdom. It gives us the ability to grow in faith, in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and with man. I love the word. I don't know how you feel about it, but I love the word of God. And tonight, we are going to begin. We're going to go into our prayer, and then we're going to go into our lesson in the name of the Lord. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads with us at this time. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bless your name and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We thank you, O God, that you have given us your word that will never fail. It will last forever. It sustains us. It brings us to you. It takes us deeper in you. It shows us your will and your ways, and it helps us to know just what's necessary. Oh God, oh God, oh God, just what's necessary so we can move on with you. It is the way. It is the truth. It is the life. It is manifested in the Logos, even Jesus the Christ. And so, Lord, reveal yourself to us on another level. Take us deeper in this wonderful journey as we commit ourselves into thy hands. Bless these, your precious people that have joined us on this night. We believe you for great things. Yea, we believe you for even greater things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Bless your hearts tonight. I want to start off tonight's lesson by reminding you of the fact that it shall be done in 21. You see in front of you, and I hope you can see it clearly, three particular passages of scripture that the Lord has placed within our hearts. And I'm going to ask that you will take these passages of scripture and work on memorizing them. This is an incredible year, and I don't want you to allow this year to slip away without you grasping things on another level. This is a year of another level. This is the next level. And truly, as we have come out of probably one of the most devastating years of our lives in the experience of death, sickness, in the experience of loss on so many levels, the year 2020, where the coronavirus took up a tremendous amount of disruption, brought in so much pain and suffering throughout our country, our society, and around the world. 2021, the Lord dropped it in my spirit that for us this year, the theme would be, it shall be done in 21. Look at these passages of scripture. Behold the profoundness of the relevance of these verses as it relates to the year 2021. It is no mistake that God has directed me to these verses, and I want to encourage you in the name of the Lord. Now, I know that some of the writing may be faint, but I'm going to ask, I need somebody to read this because this word deserves to be heard, not just read with the eyes, but to be heard out of the mouths of people. As a matter of fact, when you read God's word, it does something for you. When you speak God's word, we talk about speaking the word, speaking the word. Well, when you read it out of your mouth, you're speaking the word. And so I want to start this off by giving opportunity, three people, anyone on the line, feel free to unmute yourself. You can put it in the chat box through Zoom. Praise the name of God. I need someone for Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 through 21. I need a reader for Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. I need a reader for Romans 4, verse 20 and 21. Amen. I think we've got all the readers here. I see the first person that said I got Ephesians, Deacon Junior Deacon Austin, Matthew, Dr. Selena, and who's got Romans? Sister Charisse, she's the first one that said about Romans. All right. So we got Matthew, Dr. Marbury, Ephesians, Junior Deacon Austin, Romans, Sister Charisse Jones. I'm going to ask each reader to begin and pause for a brief commentary. Our first reader, Dr. Marbury, Matthew chapter 21, verses 20 through 21.
Matthew 21:20-21. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon is the fig tree withered away?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast," you got to bring it up more, "cast into the sea, it shall be done."
Amen. Now you got to understand, Jesus was talking to the disciples. He was using literal examples, talking to a fig tree, talking to a mountain, talking that it would be removed and cast into a sea. Now, Jesus often used things that were in the natural to convey truths that were in the spiritual. And so let's understand. I'm sure if you were there in the scene, you would see his hands pointing when he talked about the fig tree. Praise the name of God. You would have seen his hands pointing when he says, not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if he shall say unto this mountain. You could almost envision him pointing to the mountain. Praise the name of God. And then pointing, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. It shall be done. Praise the name of God. And I want you to understand that when you trust God, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter how immovable or how insurmountable it is. When you speak to it, God gets into it. God gets behind the words when you agree with him. God backs up. He will back up his word. He doesn't owe us anything as it relates to our word, but he does owe everything to us as it relates to his word. He will make his word good, and it will not fall to the ground. Glory to God. The mountain will be removed, but his word will stand forever. And somebody is dealing with a mountainous issue, a large, immovable, perhaps even a intimidating object. But I'm speaking by faith, according to God's word, that when you apply the word of God to that situation, it's got to move. When you apply the word. And so I'd like to share that this is talking about you applying the word. You've got to apply the word. You can't just read it. You can't just even speak it. You've got to apply it. Apply it. In other words, when you apply the word, it can move things that you can't do on your own. A mountain can't be moved by a person, but God can move the mountain. And when you, oh, glory to God, when you speak God's word is what's moving that mountain. God's word, glory to God, is moving that mountain. I need somebody to put that in your notes. When you apply God's word, it moves mountains. Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 and 21. When you apply God's word, it moves mountains. It's applying the word of God. Let's go on to Ephesians. Our Ephesians reader, please. I believe that's Junior Deacon Austin.
"Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen."
Amen. The Ephesians text written by the Apostle Paul to the saints of God at Ephesus while he was in a prison cell. He was in a prison cell in Rome, and he writes these words. The words that he writes are powerful. The words that he writes are all inclusive. He's leaving nothing out. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. He exceeds the abundance. You can get to a point of abundance, but what he's able to do exceeds it. In other words, it goes beyond it. It goes far beyond it. And this text, this word is suggesting and implying that he's able to do what's immeasurable by the human mind. He exceeds above all that we ask or think, far beyond what you can articulate, far beyond what you can think. My God, it's being done. As a matter of fact, we're getting ready to get to something in the lesson tonight because I know that there's something that's got to be done in your lives. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I want to pause with this center verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And by the Holy Spirit, somebody is in the middle of something. And they're looking to the left and looking to the right, and they're not sure which way to go. But I come to speak to you prophetically tonight that there is a release of power. And you're looking to the left and you're looking to the right, but the power in this text, it tells us that the power is working in us. There is a yieldedness that must take place. You've got to obey the voice of God. This power that worketh in us, it's not going to work against us. Hey, God, we've got to work with it. It's working in us, but we got to work with it. Oh, God. And this is the point that underscores that. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. When we give God glory by Christ Jesus or because of Christ Jesus, oh, God, that's working in line with the power. Because praise unto God for the mighty works of God is in line with the release of the power of God. God, you will remember with Jehoshaphat that the armies that was put before him were an army of worshipers, and they praised the Lord for the beauty of holiness. They worshiped the holiness of God. They honored and recognized the holiness of God. They were not focusing on their enemy. They were focusing on their God. And when they focus on their God, it pulled God's power out of heaven into earth. It's amazing what will happen when we put our trust in him. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Ah, God, I want to teach you something right now. Your praise will provoke God's power. Your praise will provoke the release of God's power. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That latter clause of verse number 21 speaks to us of the constant flow of worship and praise and glory that is given unto God by Jesus Christ forever. There will be no end to the worship. Ikaraboshanda. Woo! There will be no end to the worship. My God, even when we get to heaven, we've heard of the great and grand descriptions of heaven as are outlined for us in the book of Revelation, talks about the streets of gold, talks about the gates of pearl, talks about the all of the precious stones that make up this incredible, rapturous sight, talks to us about the trees on either side of a river that runs through the middle of the city, that bears fruit 12 times a year. Oh, God, we see this incredible picturesque description in the book of Revelation. Revelation doesn't scare the believer. There's no fear for us in Revelation. Revelations is the unfolding of everything that we're waiting on, everything that we're believing God for, everything that we are sacrificing for, praise the name of God, so that in this life, we are not only looking for hope. Our hope goes beyond this life. For if in this life only we had hope, we'd be of all men most miserable. But I know I'm talking to somebody tonight that knows that their hope does not end in this life. And so the preponderance of praise and worship, the extent of it. Okay, here we go. The extent of the worship is commensurate. It's trying to reach up to the extent of the power. Now, if we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't praise him enough. But when I see this verse, verse 21, next to verse 20, verse 20 is talking about the power. Verse 21 is talking about the praise. And it's like the power is moving and we got to keep up with it by the praise. You got to keep up with the power by giving God your praise and your worship. And that's in the middle. Somebody in the middle. That's the power is working in you. Don't worry about looking to the left or to the right. The power is working in you right now. And our Romans reader. Ooh, glory to God. Our Romans reader. Amen. Sister Charisse Jones, Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. Sister Charisse Jones.
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
Now, what I love about this, and as I look at these three passages of scripture, we talked about what was in the beginning, we talked about what was in the middle, and this is powerfully positioned as the end, because it helps us to understand that if you're going to get to the end of this thing, you can't stagger. To stagger means to waver. It means to lose one's footing. And so this is the text that speaks of Abraham and Sarah, Abraham's incredible trust of God that resulted in him going to a mountain to offer up his son Isaac. And in the midst of that incredible act of complete obedience and faith, that God did something with Abraham. Abraham graduated on the mountain. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. That was a graduation. That was a graduation. That was a commencement. That was a commencement for Abraham. And as this is the last verse, it speaks to me of the commencement, but not just the commencement for Abraham, but it also speaks of a fulfillment. And when you get to a graduation, you tend to look back over what you have accomplished, over what you have attained. And graduation is like a climax. Graduation is like a climax. It is the thing for which you have committed yourself to the time of study. You've committed yourself to the work of education. You've committed yourself for self-improvement. And this graduation is the arete. It is the climax. It is the top of the mountain of that experience. And it's so interesting how that when this verse was being fulfilled, Abraham was on the top of a mountain. He was on the top of a mountain giving his son as a sacrifice. It was not a monumental experience. It was a painful experience. It was a hard experience. It was an experience that anyone realistically could experience and understand that Abraham might have been concerned about what was going to happen. His concern for what was going to happen did not stop him from being obedient to God's word. Just because you are being tried in the area of faith, it doesn't mean that you will not have a human emotional response to it. And a lot of times, the devil will make you feel that if you are having an emotional response that is temporary to the circumstance, that it is an indication of a lack of faith. If you look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't have a lack of faith. He just had an experience of humanity. When he asked the Lord, he said, God, if there's any other way, if this cup may pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It was a human experience. When Jesus was at the graveside of Lazarus, and the Bible records for us the fact that Jesus wept, it wasn't an absence of faith. It was a demonstration of humanity. It was the human experience. Your human experience does not have to interfere with your faith in God. Oh, God, I wish I had a witness on this line. Just because a person feels sad doesn't mean that they've lost faith in God. Just because a person has that feels tired doesn't mean they've lost faith in God. Oh, God, help us tonight. Just because a person is weary, because, you know, we'll say the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season, we'll reap if we faint not. But sometimes we get tired, and that's a part of the human experience. Sometimes we get hungry. That's a part of the human experience. Jesus got hungry. He got so hungry that he didn't say a curse, but he cursed a tree. He cursed the fig tree, and the fig tree withered away. The human experience does not take away from the God in you. And Abraham stood strong in faith and gave God glory. You can give God glory through your tears. You can cry and still give him praise. You can cry and still give him glory. The human experience does not take away from my faith. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. I want to encourage somebody that even if you are feeling low, if you are feeling tired, to do what the word says do. Lift up your head. See, sometimes people may think that you're crazy, but I need somebody right now. I know we're not together, but I need somebody right now. I need somebody right now. Lift up your head and just tell them hallelujah. That's right. I want you to do it. I know that we're on a recording. I know that we're virtual. I know that cameras are off, but I want you to take a moment right now. Lift up your head, open your mouth, and just tell them hallelujah. Just tell them hallelujah. Ah, God, breathe that out. Hallelujah. I want you to understand something here, because see, when we are going through what we're going through, the devil wants us to feel that we're going to fail. And I've come to tell somebody tonight that there is not going to be a failure. There will not be a failure. It's not going to be a failure. It's just a part of the process. And I want to encourage somebody, because I know that in the midst of what we're going through, the enemy is going to want to make you feel like you have failed, like you can't make it. We talked about this before. I'm going to pop this up real quick because I want you to see that we understand that there will be blockers to our progress. We understand that. We get that. We get that. But no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Some of the things that can block our progress, and I wanted to share this with you tonight because we're getting ready to go into something else, because we talked last week about our goals, and I want to talk about those goals tonight, the second half of the year. But I want to share this with you. I want to put this up in front of you because I want you to understand that the level of difficulty will often cause a person to feel like they can't move forward, that they're blocked. Unbelief will certainly block a person's progress as it relates to the things of God. And truth be told, everything about us is the things of God. Make no mistake about it. Some people may say, well, you know, you don't need God for this. You don't need God for that. Yeah, but you do. I'm here to tell you, you need God for everything. There's nothing that we do for which we do not need God. We need him for everything. Unbelief, personal insecurity is a blocker. Lack of dependability, that's in you because God is faithful. Lack of dependability and faithfulness. Jeremiah said, this will I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are renewed every morning. Great is his faithfulness toward us. And so this area of number four, lack of dependability and faithfulness, that's about us, not about God, because God is faithful. And then the fifth point, fear. Let me just read this out for those that are listening, because they may want to take notes. The first point, that when we talk about progress blockers, it's Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 16. And that's the level of difficulty. That's the first point. Level of difficulty can be a progress blocker because we think it's too hard. We think it's not possible. Somebody tell us, oh, that you can't do that. Don't be crazy. You can't do that. Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 16. The second one is unbelief. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 through 21. Unbelief will block your progress. If there's anything that will stop the flow of God in your life, stop the power of God from operating, stop the word of God from manifesting, it is unbelief. As a matter of fact, Jesus told the disciples at one time when they couldn't do something, said, because of your unbelief. They were amazed at the fig tree. They were taken aback by it. And there were areas where Jesus could not do much miracles. He couldn't do great miracles because of their unbelief. Again, that's Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 through 21. Number three is personal insecurity out of the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 25 through 33. Again, number three is personal insecurity. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25 through 33. When you look at yourself and you size yourself up, the situation, you size it up against yourself, yeah, there will be things that are bigger than you. Yep. There will be things that are harder than you. Yep. There'll be people that are greater than you, but none of them are greater than God. Don't let yourself become the focus when our focus needs to be on God, on what his word says. Personal insecurity is number three. Number four, lack of dependability and faithfulness. Lack of it. Lack of dependability and faithfulness. Out of Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 13. It's very important for us to understand that we'll reap what we sow. You got to have faith and works. You got to have faith and works. Faith without works is dead. And the call to faithfulness to the believer is in service, faithful service, not just the idea of faith in God. The word of faith speaks of consistency and reliability. And so one of the songs that we used to sing back in the day is "Count on me for service, O my Savior, O my Savior, faithful I will be." And so this speaks of the thing that we do, the service that we do. Lack of dependability, can a person be trusted? Can a person be relied upon? Can a person be trusted that they'll accomplish a thing? And I want you to understand, there are various personality traits, soft skills that we need to develop because it's going to help us to walk effectively in the things of God. This is not rocket science and complicated equations. This taking a look at ourselves and saying, Lord, help me, because this thing is blocking me. And number five out of number four was, again, Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 13. Number five is fear. Fear. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 27. Fear. Now, fear will add torment. And I want you to know that fear is what kept Israel out of going forward into the land of promise. They were promised a land flowing with milk and honey. They were promised to believe that God was going to work things out. And sometimes, you know, you got to go through some sufferings. Sometimes you got to go through some challenges. Sometimes you got to go through some seasons where things don't look good. And you've got to trust God in spite of how it looks. Oh, God. We are moved by the things that we see. That's what happened with the 10 spies out of the 12 that went into the promised land to spy it out. They saw and were moved. They saw and were moved to go backward. Joshua and Caleb saw it and they were impressed to move forward. So what you see can affect how you move. Be careful that it doesn't bring fear. Fear brings paralysis, or it brings retardation, slowing the process down, causing the process to come to a halt and no progress being made. Oh, God. Number five, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 27, fear. The last one is number six, sin. Sin will stop your progress all the time. There's no way that you can move forward in God if you are entertaining the practices of sin. Sin is a reproach to any people. It's a reproach. It's judgment comes upon sin. And so you want to stay as far away from sin as possible, because anybody that covers up their sin can't prosper. You can't. You can't. You cannot. Sin is a reproach. Sin, essentially, when you practice sin, what you're basically saying is that God can't do a thing. That God can't do it. God can't keep me. God can't sanctify me. God can't strengthen me. I want you to take that into account. Because when the people are sanctified, when they are set apart, sin can't move them. Sin can't move them when they are walking in holiness, when you are walking in fellowship with God. You don't have to be perfect to overcome sin. You just got to stay connected. You don't have to be perfect to we don't overcome sin because we are perfect. We overcome sin because we stay connected to God. Oh, God help us, Holy Ghost. Our connection is the power source. He is the vine. We are the branches. We got to stay connected to the vine. And as long as we do that, we're going to be fine. As long as we stay connected to the vine, you need to write that down. I will be fine as long as I stay connected to the vine. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Okay, now listen up. Today, we have to deal with these goals. Everybody on this line has been at, well, you may not have been here when the request was made, but most of you were here. We have had goals that we have set together this year. We began this year by going through the process of understanding what the word means concerning getting it done. We dealt with the issue of confession and conviction. We dealt with the issue of blockers. We dealt with the issue of understanding that this is a year for us for purpose, power, prayer, and praise. We talked about these things. We talked about how to press through the pain, because we know that progress is going to be challenged by pain. And so we did not act as if that's not a reality. We talked about the fact of how to progress through the pain. We talked about what it's going to take to move forward, to have a teachable spirit, to be humble in spirit, to be willing, to be flexible, to be zealous and not give up, to be unstoppable and understand that if God be for me, who can be against me? We talked about the need of prayerfulness and being praiseful, praise full. These are the things that we use as a foundation. And then we started talking about setting these goals, three goals, each person to commit to completing between that time. It was probably the beginning of February, because we laid the foundation in January, to be done but between February and the end of May. We talked about setting goals. We talked about what kind of goals you need to have. And that's basically SMART, S-M-A-R-T. We talked about how to create these goals, because a lot of times people don't accomplish what they set out to because they don't have a good goal. They have a dream, they have a wish, but they don't have a goal. If what you are talking about is not specific, it can't be measured, it's not something that's achievable, and it's not relevant to your life, it's not something that is set by time limits to say, get it done by a certain time, then if you don't have those five components, you don't have a goal, you have a wish. And when you learn how to set goals, and to it will help you to accomplish them. When you set your goal right, it will help you to accomplish it. Why? Because the goal is a roadmap. A properly structured goal is a roadmap for how I spend my time and my energy. If it's not going to help me to reach my goal, then that thing is not a priority to me. That thing is something that I might like to get done, but it's not something that I must get done. That goes at the bottom of the list, even if it's on the list at all. And so this is important because as a saint, we do more than speak in tongues and run around the church. You know, sometimes people, they're more in love with the church of God than the God of the church. They've got more in terms of their moves with the church. You know, they can do church. They can do church. But the issue is, do you really love God? Because if you love God, you're going to keep his commandments. And his commandments, it is his will. It is a part of his commandments for us to put him first. And all these other things are going to be added unto us. And so to talk about being a better man, being a better child of God, being a better woman, being a success, that's not setting proper goals. So tonight, we have gone through this last year, rather the first half of this year. And what I want to do right now, I want to take a time because a lot of you have not sent me your goals. I've got some goals from some people. I don't have goals from most. And I want you to send me those goals to my email address. I am still looking for those goals. And my email address is BeulahTabRocks@AOL.com. I've just put it in the chat. It's BeulahTabRocks@AOL.com. Now, I want to take a moment to talk about challenges, but not me, but you. Anybody on the line, what challenges have you faced and what have you done to overcome them? And I know that I'm putting some folks on the spot, but yep, I'm doing just that because this is real talk. This is real talk. I think that it's important for us to hear from each other as it relates to the progress that we're making, the challenges that we've faced and how we've overcome them. And I'll be the first to say, I tried to get my goals done and it took a lot of work. I started, I did not complete it by the May 31st deadline. And so I'm going to put my goals out there to clear out my office and get all the bags out and organize my office. Some of you have seen my office, and while I'm grateful to God that I have it, it's not the way I want it to be. My commitment, I've started it, but I didn't finish it. And I'm going to finish it before the end of November in Jesus' name. I'm going to completely clear out my office of all these bags and stuff that's in bags and organize my office. That's my first goal. Number two, I'm going to complete my book, the book that I'm working on. The reason why I didn't complete clearing out my office has to really do with my third goal for the year. And I'm going to get there in a minute as well. I'm almost done with the book. I'm 95% done with the book. I just have to go through the process of refining some things and then going through the publishing process. And I know that there are some people on the line that have published their books, so I'll be knocking on your door about that. But the third goal, and I actually have four, but the third goal that I've struggled with was ending my workday by a certain time. Now, I'm going to put it out there. I was horrible at it. My family has gotten on me. My wife has gotten on me. My daughters have gotten on me. Horrible. I have been very much consumed in work to the point that there are some things that I have not gotten done. I'm going to admit it. I need you to pray for your pastor. But my target is to end my workday every day no later than 6:30 p.m. Now, some may say, well, that's late. Well, my friends, you don't know how bad your pastor has been. And I'm going to leave it at that. I got some work to do. But by the grace of God, starting this week, praise the Lord, tomorrow is the first day of the new month. How about that? We're in the end. This is the last day of the month of August. tomorrow is going to be my new year. And I'm going to start, as of tomorrow, working on ending my day by 6:30. Most of this has not been done because I just didn't stop working at a good time to be able to do anything other than work. I'm publicly putting this out there because I want you all to hold me accountable to it. And so that's me. I did not get the things done that I needed to get done because I let other things take more priority, and that messed me up. Okay, that's my confession. You all have it, and you know how to pray for your pastor. Somebody else. Now, I know that you all didn't finish all them goals, because I got the goals from about 20-some out of you, and I don't think that you finished it. So talk to me, somebody. Let's be real.
Hello, praise the Lord. This is Lynette. Sister Lynette.
Amen, Sister Lynette.
Well, even I wrote you twice by two different goals. Well, I'm trying to eat more healthier, but see, I'm a junk food. I'm not an addict, but I like chips too much. I'm trying to eat healthier, like more fruit and stuff. But my goal is I'm really trying to eat healthier because it's not good for my legs to be so heavy. So I'm trying to eat healthier. It's not easy for me. Please pray for me because I like junk food a lot. So please pray for me. I'm trying to eat healthier. And what are the other goals I want to reach? Do you have in front of you, Pastor, the list? Let me see now. What was the other goal? Forget about completing the Bible in 1 year. I just stopped cold. So I didn't reach that goal at all. It's the truth. And I forgot the last goal. I forgot. Bishop Michael, I forgot the last little bishop. I forgot.
Now, you wanted to relocate.
Oh, well, I try. Nothing. I try. Nothing. So I want to stay home, but that's a different story. But I tried my best. I tried. I can't find nothing. And that's the truth. I can't.
Well, don't give up. Don't give up the search. Well, and I know, sir, you talked about eating healthier. You wanted to eliminate eating junk food.
Yeah, I do.
Now, I told you all what was stopping me from accomplishing my goal. What's stopping you?
I like chips too much and cookies. I like it a lot. It tastes good. I like the crunch and the sound of it, but grapes and fruit has no crunch. It's healthy, but has no sound to it.
Celery does.
Yuck.
Carrots do.
I like carrots.
Apples do.
Oh, I'm eating apples once in a while. Okay. All right, so, you got
somebody me. Got something to help her?
You got me.
Listen, I want everybody to accomplish something this year. I'm serious.
Yeah.
And so understanding that we didn't get it done is one thing, but understanding why we didn't is going to help us to overcome.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Bishop.
Yes, dear.
This is Selena Marbury. I sent you my goal.
Okay.
You want me to send it to you again?
Yep.
Okay, I'll send it again. Well, my three goals was, the first one was to read the five scriptures in the morning and five scriptures at night. And my second was to finish three blankets, which I finished two. And I didn't finish the third one. And my third goal was to walk 2 miles a day. And I've been lacking on the walking. And I lack on the reading the Bible at night. For some reason, I'm going to do it before I go to bed, and I look around, and I watch something on YouTube, you know, the Word Channel, whatever. And then I go to bed, and I say, oh, then I try to do it, like, during the next day, like, instead of reading five in the morning, I'll read 10, saying that'll be for the night. But that's not right, because if you say you're going to do that before you go to bed at night, that's what you're supposed to do. And the walking, I got lazy. I figured if I walk to BJ's or something, that'd be well. But when I looked it up, it wasn't 2 miles. So y'all pray for me to get back on track. And normally when I go out for something, even though this is a goal through, you know, the Bible study, I usually finish, but y'all pray for me and I'm going to start back on track. Like you said, I started back on track today, but I didn't walk. But tomorrow I will.
Amen. Now, did get those goals from you back in February. So if you're talking about those goals, I got them. But I was asking for folks to send me their new set. Okay, like if they didn't finish it, then it's okay to start. I'm going to finish it. But this is a new email for July through November.
Okay, I will. I'll send you 3 new ones there.
And I want to encourage you. If you find yourself in a day, so, for example, with Sister Marbury, reading 5 chapters in the morning and 5 chapters in the evening. If you find yourself in a day where when you're starting your 5 chapters in the morning, it starts to get good to you, and you read 7 or 8 chapters, don't hurt yourself by saying, I got to read 5. If it may be easier to say, I will read 10 chapters.
That's what happened. This morning, I read 10 chapters.
There you go. But what I'm saying is, we can tweak the goal and still have the same outcome. Okay. And you don't have to be, I don't want you to beat yourself up because of the goal and feel that the goal is governing us. It's the same idea with the Sabbath and how the Jews took the Sabbath and they built all these rigid restrictions around the Sabbath. And Jesus had to tell them the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. I want you all to understand these goals are designed to bless you, not to rule you. So let's take that goal, for example, and instead of saying, I got to do 5 chapters in the morning and 5 chapters in the evening, you can just say, I'll read 10 chapters a day. And whenever you get it done, you get it done.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Bishop.
Absolutely. I don't want you to think the goal rules you. Look at the goal. Sometimes they require tweaking. They may require adjustment because at the end of the day, the idea is to accomplish the goal. What are we trying to accomplish? And in that one, Sister Marbury was trying to accomplish reading 10 chapters a day. God bless you there. Junior Deacon Austin, I think you said you got something?
Yes, praise the Lord, sir. So the original list I sent to you, I did complete one of my goals. So I want to replace that one if I can do that.
Say that again?
The initial list.
Yeah.
Of what I sent you, I completed one of my goals.
Okay, great.
So I want to replace that one now. And I have a new goal, and it is necessary, you know, health-wise. And that is to lose weight.
Okay.
Because I've been had a couple of health challenges, and you know I'm definitely taking it as a warning that if I don't eat healthier, exercise more, it's going to get worse.
Amen.
My goal is to lose 40 pounds by November.
Okay.
I'm putting it out there, and to exercise 3 times a week. At least 3 times a week, whether it's walking, playing tennis, doing push-ups, sit-ups, whatever.
Okay.
But that's the goal.
Now, just so you all know, I'm going to share a little something that Brother Paul, myself, and Jack are doing. Jack is Sister Carla Lowry's husband. We have created a group text, and every time we do our exercise for the day, we're supposed to put it in the text so we all know that we're staying on point and we can encourage each other throughout the day. And so I've got to spend time on my exercise machine and Paul's got to do his thing and Jack's got to do something. but all of us are helping each other, nudging each other along through that mechanism. It's something that's simple. It's not costing us a dime extra, and we're encouraging each other to get it done. We have time for one more person to share.
I share mine.
Amen.
Okay, the three goals that I had is one of the goals is that I wanted to go back to school. And I started the process, but I just have to finish. So that started, but I didn't get into school as yet. Mm-hmm. I just started like the necessary things before.
Mm-hmm.
Another goal that I have is to stop procrastinating. This is something that takes time to really work on. And I believe that what's been holding me back is a little fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's there because of a change. So I'm trying to work on that, getting over that fear and to learn the steps to just stop procrastinating, because it's so easy to say, I'll do it later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my issue. I keep pushing things to the side and say, okay, I'll do it later. I still have time. So I'm working on trying to stop doing that. And I ask that you all pray for me, because that's to me, that's a big thing in my life. And mm-hmm. it prevents from a lot of things happening. So that's a big thing to me. Also, another goal that I have is just to become more consistent with the things of God and to draw even closer to Him. So what I've been doing is doing my reading throughout the day. I need to be more consistent with it, but that's something that I've been working on, doing my readings. Trying to finish the Bible before the year is out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and I have been praying more and seeking God more for different things in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those are my goals.
Amen. Amen. Now, for anyone, you know, that has ever procrastinated, you know what that struggle is like. You know how difficult it is to break free from that. It's not an easy thing. And I want to commend Brother Paul, Sister Charisse, Sister Lynette for sharing what they've been dealing with. And I, you know, I want you to know that even the change that I am proposing to address in terms of my workday, it's going to take some effort. And anything that you do along the lines of goal setting, it's going to require the discipline. It's the discipline. You've got to discipline yourself. You've got to make that commitment and stick with it. In some cases, we need to make changes to our eating. Our lives depend on it. Our health depends on it. Our families depend on it. Some of us are dealing with increasing our credit rating. Our futures are very much tied to our credit in a lot of ways. And sometimes we want God to do some things, but we want to spend money like it's going out of style. And faith, again, without works is dead. So I want to commend those that shared tonight. And before we go into prayer, I'm going to ask if you would either unmute and say it or put it in the chat. What is the struggle you want to be free of as it relates to your goals? What is the struggle that you want to be free from in order to accomplish the goals? Again, what is the struggle you want to be free from in order to accomplish your goals? You can put it in the chat, but I need you all to put this in, that this is kind of an interactive aspect of tonight's lesson. Even with you can take your phone off mute and you can say it. What is the area of the struggle? What is the struggle with you accomplishing your goals? Just be quick about it, and then let's go. We're going to go into the prayer.
I want to be free from a junk food addict. That's the truth.
Change. You got to change your diet. Oh, that's a part of that. You got to change your diet and hold yourself to it, because your life depends on you changing your diet. Lady Michael has done the same thing for us. I honestly feel better. She says that she sees a change. But you got to change your diet. You got to change what you bring into that house. There's some foods that Lady Michael don't even let us bring in the house. God bless her. Change your diet, and that's going to help you there. Amen. Amen. The enemy fights us in the area of fear, fights us in the area of inconsistency, fights us in the area of our appetite. Let me give you another thing for that food. When you fast, it helps you to develop discipline over your flesh so that your flesh does not rule you. You rule the flesh. Fasting is an exercise of the power of God over your flesh. And maybe, Sister Lynette, one way to approach it is to go on a fast from junk food, to not eat junk food for a couple of days, whether it's 3 days or 7 days. And you don't go back crazy with it when you get off that fast. But that's something to think about, something to offer. We're going to take anybody else. We got people putting it into the chat. Thank you so much. Amen. Inconsistency, devil fighting us in the area of doubt, fear. Some of the stuff, and I really wanted to kind of put this in our face tonight, because sometimes we don't do that. We don't really talk about the challenges that we face, but every believer faces challenges. The issue is how you deal with them, how you overcome them. Anybody else before we go into the prayer?
Can I eat food even though I don't eat junk food? Can I eat regular food?
I'm talking about going on a special fast to break that yoke. So when you go on that fast, Sister Lynette, yeah, you can eat food, just no junk food.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm prioritizing the time to do the stuff that you need to do. I have that issue to a point, and other things sometimes are granted, so it's a lot, but other than that, I'm trying. I was able to achieve one of my goals, which is the dance. You know, of the three that I gave to you, I have to force myself to push myself into doing the other two.
Yes.
So that's my issue.
Amen.
I'm going to push that past and I will overcome it by the grace of God.
Bishop.
You know, like, I have a hard time every Tuesday, you know, we fast, and Friday. And look like this, like, I be cooking, and I used to confess and don't have no problem tasting the food. But for the last 3 weeks, I have a problem. I'll taste it while I'm cooking. I said, oh, God. And then I'd be so hard on myself until one day I said, well, I taste it. I just ate, you know. And today I had a hard time too. But then when it hit me, I just said, in the name of Jesus. But then, like now we're on the line. I know I can't eat till we get off, and then sometime I'll forget. I'll take a cookie or something like that.
Let me tell you, dear. There's been many times when I have been fasting, and the day was a fast day, and I forgot. I simply forget. I start the morning off. I go through a routine. I put something in my mouth, and the second I put it in my mouth, I remember I'm fasting. You know what I do? Either I swallow that or I spit it out and I go on my fast.
Yeah, that's what I did. I took it out of my mouth.
That's all you do.
I just threw it away. Yeah.
That's all you do. And you don't beat yourself up for it, because we forget.
Yes.
We forget.
But it's funny, when I go on the 21-day fast, I don't have no problem.
Don't worry about it.
When
21 days is a long time, and you definitely get different adjustments to it. But don't. What I want you to understand, and this is for all of us, we can't beat ourselves up, because that's the devil would love for us to do that.
Right.
That feeds into the spirit of self-righteousness. It feeds into a judgmental spirit. You know, don't do that to yourself. The devil is doing it enough. If you forget that you're fasting on a certain day, you forget that Tuesday is the fast day, you wake up, you take something to eat, it's like, oh, Lord, because a lot of times it'll happen as soon as you put it in your mouth.
And the Lord, but it usually happens just like around 5 o'clock, just before we get ready to come on the thing.
Yeah.
And it's so, I do it so often to my daughter. She knows, my older daughter. Oh, she said, oh, you can't eat today, Ma. Today's your fast day.
See,
you know,
it's okay. Don't beat yourself up over it. All right, let's get into the prayer. I think that it's clear that we all are seeking to grow. We want to grow. We want to get things done. And I thank God for all of you. I thank God for all of you. And again, I want to encourage you. I'm asking everyone to send me your goals for between now and the end of November. Please send it to me in the email. Everybody, this is for all of us. I'm believing God that we're going to move the needle this year, whether it's an academic goal, whether it's a financial goal, whether it's a goal to lose weight, whether it's a goal to not be so much of a workaholic, and I'm raising my hands right now for me, whatever that is, because we are going to get it done. God's grace in us is going to get this done. You are incredible. God has purpose for your life. And I'm telling you, these lessons, this lesson will affect other areas of your life. I want you to understand what it really means to break through. Not this song and dance breakthrough, cutting a step and shouting in church, dance breakthrough, and then you step out the sanctuary after greeting everybody and you go back into the spirit of bondage. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. We're talking about the kinds of things that move the needle, and it's not just things in the spirit. A lot of it has to do with things that are natural, but it actually comes from areas of the spirit. Mm-hmm. Let's get into the prayer. I want that we've got our goals in front of us for praying tonight, and we're going to get our prayer leaders to come on and take us through, because I'm believing God for some breakthrough in your lives. This is breakthrough. The next part of this year is breakthrough, the manifestation of the breakthrough. And I'm going to ask the representative for the men, representative for the women, representative for the youth to take us at this time in prayer. Come on, let's take us in prayer.
Oh God, we humbly come before you tonight. In that name that's above every name, Jesus Christ. Lord, we say thank you today for another day. This day that you have made, and we continue to rejoice in you, we continue to be glad in you, we continue to give your name praise, we continue to give your name honor, we continue to give your name glory, because you so deserve it, Lord God. You so deserve it, hallelujah. Lord, if it had not been for you who was on our side, Lord God, oh God, it would be a terrible thing, but we thank you, Lord, that we can boldly come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Lord, we're grateful that we can come to you with whatever we're going through, any challenges in our life, any situation in our life, anything that's going on, Lord God, we can come to you, we can trust you, we can lay it at your feet, Lord, and you'll bring us through it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Before we go any further, Lord, if there's anything said that we've said, anything that we've thought, any thought that we entertained that didn't glorify you, any filthy thing that came out of our mouth that didn't glorify you, we ask you to forgive us right now. Anything we've done with our bodies that didn't glorify you, we ask you to forgive us right now. Cleanse us with the precious blood, Jesus, that you shed upon Calvary. Lord, we cry out to you right now, Lord, because, and I say that we can continue to say it, that you are coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. We need to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to be ready to be caught up with you. All the craziness going on in the world right now, what's going on in Afghanistan, what's going on in the Gulf, in Louisiana. And we pray for those people even right now, Lord God. Have mercy on them even right now, Lord God. The devastation that's taking place, but have mercy right now, even in this situation, Lord God. Let those people know and see how good you truly are. Even in that situation, Lord, that people will come to Christ, that people will give their lives to you, that they will understand that they can trust and have faith and no one but you. And we thank you, Lord. Lord, with all that thing that's going on in government, Lord. Lord, we need you more than ever right now. We need you more than ever right now, Lord. And we cry out to you today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy upon our lives. We thank you, even now as we have the activity of our limbs, that we can praise you with our voices. We can say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. There are some that can't do that, but Lord, for those of us that can, we say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, continue to look upon the men as we went over our goals tonight. Lord, convict them, Lord God. Let them, understand and see, Lord God, that if they trust you with all their heart and lean not to their own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge you, that you will direct their path. And that even if they make mistakes, it's okay. Even if they mess up, it's all right. Even if they have to forget, it's all right. But Lord, that we got to put our trust in you. And not only that, Lord, but the goals that we set that we need to stick to them. Yes, sometimes we fall off the wagon, but we have to be persistent. We have to be persistent. And we have to continue to press towards the mark. Lord, we say thank you, Lord, because you can do all things but fail. And right now, we're trusting you. I'm trusting you, Lord, that the men will come through shining, Lord, but not taking credit in themselves, but giving you glory, Lord God, that all that we're going through, that it's not in vain. All that we're going through is not for naught. All that we're going through, there's a purpose. You have purpose in our lives. And even the struggles that we go through, it's meant for a purpose to strengthen us, to draw us closer to you. So we say thank you tonight, Lord, for all that we've gone through. Good, bad, or indifferent, we say thank you. Because it's strengthening us and drawing us closer to you. And we want to be closer to you. Lord, we love you tonight. We glorify you tonight. We say thank you tonight. We say hallelujah tonight for being so good in our lives. For being so good in our lives, for being so good to us. Continue to bless us and keep us, Lord. Continue to shine in our lives. Lord, we cry out for your Holy Spirit. Allow your Spirit to reside in us, to root out anything that's not of you, to push it out. But we got to be obedient. We got to come willingly. So for those that have their hearts might be hard, soften their heart, Lord. Only you can do it. Your word can do it, Lord. Man can't, but you can. So we say thank you tonight for what you've done, what that you're doing, and all that you plan to do. And we praise your name tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Lord, Father God, we remind us of you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise your name. Lord, we glorify you. Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness, for your mercy, God, for your loving kindness. Lord, we thank you, God, oh God, for this day that you have woken up us this morning to see this day from the beginning all the way until tonight. Lord, I thank you, oh God, for shielding and protecting us on this day. Oh God, you are so merciful. Oh God, we praise and we glorify your name. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for what you have done in our lives and what you are yet going to do, Lord. Lord, we realize that according to your word, you said that there is life and death in the power of our tongue. Oh God, whatever we speak, whatever comes out of our mouth, oh God, oh God, that it shall come into fruition, oh God. Oh God, help us, oh God, not to speak any negativity in our lives, in our family lives, oh God, or in anyone's lives, oh God, because whatever we speak, whatever comes out of our mouth, oh God, it may come to pass, oh God. You said life and death is in the power of the tongue. Whatever we say and whatever we believe, oh God, it shall come to pass. Whatever we are going through, oh God, hallelujah. Lord, I know, Jesus, that you will take us through, oh God, hallelujah. Whatever it may be, oh God, that we were requesting or whatever we're putting our petition, oh God, in you, oh God, hallelujah. If we're suffering, oh God, in our mind and our body, oh God, hallelujah, let us say that we shall live and not die, oh God. Oh God, if we're suffering, oh God, hallelujah, in our finance, oh God, hallelujah, let us say, oh God, that you shall supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory, oh God. Help us, oh God, Jesus, Lord, to speak your word, oh God, and believe in it, oh God, hallelujah. Believe in your word, oh God, hallelujah. Whatever we go, whenever we go through, whatever it may be, oh God, hallelujah, let us believe that you are able to take us through, oh God, hallelujah. For you said in your word, oh God, that you will not put on us no more than we can bear. Whatever, oh God, that you allow, oh God, that you are able to take us through whatever it may be, oh God, hallelujah. Help us, oh God, to trust and depend on you, oh God, hallelujah. Help us, oh God, to stay connected to you, oh God, even when we're going through some time, oh God, where we may feel that we want to give up, oh God, hallelujah, but help us, oh God, to stay connected, oh God. Help us, oh God, to hold on to you, oh God, hallelujah, whatever it may be, oh God, because we know that you will not let us fall, oh God, hallelujah. We know that you will hold us in the hollows of your hand, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, let us trust in you wholeheartedly, oh God, hallelujah. It may be hard, it may be tough. We may not know which direction to go, but Lord Jesus, Lord, you will not let us fall. You will not lead us, oh God. You will not fail us, oh God, hallelujah. Let us trust and depend on you, oh God. I thank you, oh God, for your word, oh God. I thank you, oh God, for what you have done in our homes, in our families, oh God, hallelujah. I thank you, oh God, for what you're yet going to do, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, those that they feel, oh God, they don't know which way to go and which directions to go, where to go. But Lord, Jesus, Lord, you are able to lead us, oh God. Lead us, oh God, in the directions that you want us to go, oh God. Open up our spiritual eyes, oh God. Open up our spiritual ears, oh God, that we may hear what you want us to hear, that we may see what you want us to see, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, let us trust wholeheartedly in you, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, you will not let us fall, or you will not fail us, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, the people in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they trusted in you, oh God. They depended on you, oh God, hallelujah. They said, if I die, we will die, oh God, but we will trust in you. We will depend wholeheartedly in you, oh God, hallelujah. And you took them through, hallelujah. You covered them, you protected them through the fire, oh God, hallelujah. Take us through the storm, the rain, oh God, hallelujah. Whatever it may be, take us through the fire, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, Jesus, Lord, you are able, oh God, hallelujah. Let us not waver, oh God, hallelujah. Let us stay connected to the vine, oh God. For you said in your word that you are the true vine, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, hallelujah. Continually to feed us through your word, oh God. Feed our spirit, oh God. Feed our spirit, oh God, that we may grow thereby, that our spirit may grow fat, oh God, hallelujah. I glorify you, Jesus. I praise your name, oh God, hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, oh God, that you will and you are able to take us through every test, every trial, every tribulation. Oh God, you shall take us through. Oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, hallelujah. Those, oh God, hallelujah, that's holding on by a string, oh God. They just don't know what to do, oh God. They feel that like they feel like they're going backwards, oh God, hallelujah. Oh Jesus, Lord, you said you're married to the backsliders, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, bring back, oh God, hallelujah. Bring back those, oh God, that turn their backs on you, oh God, hallelujah. Bring it back to the fold, oh God, hallelujah. Show them that we're living in the last and evil days, oh God. Show them that, oh God, that tomorrow's not promised to us, oh God. We don't know the time nor the season that you coming, oh God. But you said in the word that you come as a thief in the night, oh God, hallelujah. Let us be ready when you come, oh God, hallelujah. Let us be ready, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, let us not, when you come and we're doing something that we shouldn't be, oh God, hallelujah. Let us stay in your word, oh God. Let us stay focused in you, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, let us be consistent, oh God, in anything that you want us to do, oh God, hallelujah. Consistency, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, let us be consistent, oh God, hallelujah. Let us start, oh God, if we feel, oh God, that we're weak in a particular area, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, let us all be consistent, oh God, that you may strengthen us in that area, oh God, hallelujah. And I thank you, oh God, Father, for what you have done and what you're yet going to do. I thank you for your love, oh God, hallelujah. I thank you for your love, oh God. I thank you, oh God, for comforting us, oh God, in a time when we feel discouraged, oh God, when we feel alone, oh God, hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, oh God, for comforting us, oh God, when we have lost loved ones in our lives, oh God. I thank you, Father, for taking us through, because only you was able to take us through, oh God. I thank you, oh God, hallelujah. Those that are going through mentally in their minds, oh God, hallelujah. Lord, I rebuke that spirit, oh God, hallelujah, confusion, oh God, hallelujah. I glorify your name. I thank you, oh God, hallelujah. Those that are sick in their body, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, you know us, oh God, hallelujah. You know us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, I'm asking for healing for those that are sick in their body, oh God, hallelujah. Those that are sick in their mind, I'm asking you for healing. I'm asking you for deliverance, oh God. I'm asking you, oh God, to set the captive free, oh God, hallelujah. Deliver the people, oh God, even from themselves, oh God, hallelujah. Oh God, I'm asking you for deliverance, oh God, hallelujah. In your mighty name, and Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah. I praise you and I magnify you, oh God, for what you have done, oh God. I thank you, oh God, hallelujah, for attending your ears, oh God, into our prayer, oh God, hallelujah. I thank you, God, Jesus, Lord, for hearing our cry, oh God, hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.
Father, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity, God, that we are gathering together as the people of God to pray and to believe you. Father, I pray, oh God, for every young person under the sound of my voice, for every young person of the Beulah Tabernacle Church. I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen them and that you will protect them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would enlarge their territories, that you would strengthen them even as they go back to school. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would do what only you can do. Father, even tonight, oh God, as we have come together collectively, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen them, that you will protect them, that you will protect their minds, that they will be able to experience you in another way, in a new way. In the name of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, thank you for salvation in every last one of their lives. Thank you, oh God, for them even choosing you, oh God, to be the Lord and Savior of their lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, we glorify you even right now. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise tonight. for what you're doing in their lives. Lord, I thank you and I ask, oh God, that you would have your way in their lives right now. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. I ask, oh God, that you will build a hedge of protection around them. Oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we expect, oh God, for you to do things, oh God. We expect for you, oh God, to remove every hindrance. We expect for you to remove everything that is not like you in their lives. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we understand the power that's in prayer. We understand, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that prayer changes things, and that if we pray to you, oh God, that we can expect that things will turn around for us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for every young person. Thank you, oh God, for what you're doing in their lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And even as they understand and learn your word, oh God, and hear your word from your man servant, Father, I ask, oh God, that they will come to an understanding that Jesus Christ must be their personal Lord and Savior. That even as, oh God, hallelujah, as they go, oh God, and hear your word, that they will become students of your word, not just hearers, but doers thereof. Father, I thank you and I glorify you even tonight, oh God, for what you're doing in their lives individually and collectively. And Father, right now, thank you, oh God, that they are connected to the true vine. Thank you that they are connected to the right source. And we glorify you tonight. We thank you for what you're doing in their lives. And we offer them and put them into your hands now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this night where we underscore to your people that it shall be done in 21. We thank you tonight, Lord God, that we have had the opportunity to share our hearts and share the challenges that face us. Oh God, yeah, there are struggles, but Lord God, I thank you for victory. I thank you for victory over every demonic influence. I thank you for victory over every demonic blocker. Hey, God, I thank you. We come against the demonic influences that would cause us to focus on things. We come against the spirit of jealousy. We come against the spirit of envy. We come against the spirit of lust. We come against the spirit of inordinate affections. Lord, we come against the spirit that would even cause us to focus too much on ourselves, the spirit of lust and the spirit of pride, the spirit of the flesh. Oh, God, that attitude that's carnal, Lord God, that causes us to get caught up in ourselves. Lord, I believe, and tonight I speak the word of balance. I release balance on this line. I bless your name right now. Oh God, that you are able to help us to bring balance to every area of our lives. As we apply your word with focus, we seek to accomplish your will. I speak over your people, Lord, that we would prosper and be in health even as our souls are prosperous. I speak of holistic prosperity as we seek you first. Hey, God, our souls prosper when we seek you first. And so, Tayarabashanda, hey, God, for all of us, Lord, seeking you in all we do, seeking you in how we treat each other, seeking you in how we speak to each other. And tonight, Lord God, in areas where there's pain, where there's suffering, Lord God, I speak wholeness right now. I speak on this line that souls would be made whole. Lord, bring the healing we need. Bring the healing. Hey, God, you are a healer. You are our healer. You are the God that takes sickness out of the midst of us. Oh, our Jehovah Rophe. Hey, Standarabushanda. Hey, throw your weight around as we praise your holy name. Let every praise draw the power. Let Ataya, woo, let every praise provoke the move of God. Hey, glory to God. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise tonight. We give you glory tonight. We thank you for accountability partners. We talk to each other tonight to hold one another accountable, not to be judges over each other, but to encourage one another, to share in the journey, to cheer each other on. Oh, God, yeah, to check in every now and then to see how progress is being made. But I'm grateful, Lord, because we're not going to do this on our own. We're going to do it together. We expect a miracle. We pray for the release of that anointing that destroys every yoke. Oh, God, we accept the challenge you put before us and declare a breakthrough on this line for every heart, for every home, for every mind, for every soul. And so we commit ourselves into your hands, thanking you for these precious people, thanking you for this most sacred time. Lord, we give ourselves to you. And even now we pray this prayer and declare these words, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.